It is a wonderful, wonderful Lord's Day to come together to worship God in spirit and in truth. As we come together on this morning to talk about God's Word, let us understand that God has given us His Word in order for us to know what He desires of us. The Bible is very clear on what it says about God. It is very clear on what He expects for us to do. And as you see the title of the lesson on this morning, what's love got to do with it? It's a very, very interesting question. A question that the world has used in order to get someone to think about what they have done and what they are doing. God has loved us. Love is a word that so many people have just thrown around like it is nothing. I was sitting there last night looking at something on television with Anita, and the commercial came on and said, just say those three little words. Three little words. And the first thing will come to mind when someone asks you that or tell you that is to say, I love you. That wasn't the case last night. I think the case was, I love Reese's. And that just made me think. I love Reese's. How do you show that you appreciate Reese's? That's Reese's Pieces, Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. However you want to look at it, Reese's. Not the man Reese's, not the woman Reese's, but the candy Reese's. How do you show that? You show it by indulging into it. You pick up a piece, you eat it, and it's sort of like Lay's potato chips. You just can't eat one. You have to eat another and another and another. I was eating something yesterday, and Anita asked me, how was it? I said, it was good. She said, you didn't save me a bite? I said, it was good. Simple as that. I enjoyed it. She didn't get an opportunity to, but she has to take my word for it that it was good. So the question once again is, what does love have to do with it? We tell people all the time how much we love them. We even said to God, I love you. We said to Christ, I love you. We said to others, I love you. And as a good friend who is long gone now used to say, when we tell her, I love you, she would say, really? Really? You love me? Show me. Show me. Love is an action word. And in many cases, it becomes a dirty word because we do not know how to demonstrate true love. We're talking about love according to God's word. That's what we're talking about on this morning. Let's look at it. 1 John chapter 4, and we'll start with verse 7. 1 John chapter 4, and we start with verse 7. Once again, appreciate Brother Mark for reading this earlier, and we're going to just look at it again. 1 John chapter 4, starting with verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Let us love. He doesn't say run around telling people that you love them. He says, let us love. When he said in the very beginning, let us make man in our own image, he just didn't say it. He did it. Are we willing today to love? Are we willing to demonstrate this in our lives by our actions? For love is from God. Man didn't just make this up. There's no way man could have ever, you know, conjured up love in his mind and said, this is what I'm going to do, and this is why I'm going to do it. Love is something that we need to understand is taught to man. Just like hatred is taught by man. Love is taught by man to man. Because we have learned what love is from God. He says, as we continue, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this love, in this is love, not that we have loved God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. For our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. It's a duty, isn't it? To love one another. It's a command that we love one another. Not just tell them, but show each other that we love one another. It is so important that we realize this. He says, no one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever, the Bible says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know that we believe the love that God had for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Love. Love. Do we know what love is? Do we demonstrate love in our everyday life? Or do we love when we think that it's convenient? Do we love when we feel like loving? Is our love, you know, conditional? You know, God loves us unconditional, but our love sometimes is unconditional or with conditions. I love you if you love me. If you don't do that, I don't love you anymore. Well, we always, you know, like to tell people, you don't have to like me, but the Bible commands that you love me. There's a difference between like and love. And I get to ask that question as well, brothers. Men that are married. My wife asks me sometimes, you tell me you love me, but do you like me? See, we have to learn how to do both. We have to learn how to love and we have to learn how to like. Because there are some things that we dislike, and then there are some things that we like. There are some things that we hate, then there are some things that we love. But when it comes down to our spouses, we need to love and like them. Make sure that we do what we're supposed to. Same thing with God's word. We need to like his word. We need to love his word. And then when we do those things, we are pleasing and accepting in the sight of God. What does love mean? Love is an intense feeling of deep affection. That's what love is, isn't it? A person, you can love a person, you can love a thing. But when we start talking about loving God, when we start talking about loving others, you know, it's going to move us sometime out of our comfort zone. It's going to allow us to do some things that we normally wouldn't do. But when we start doing those things, we will learn to appreciate those things. We learn. And as we learn, we live. And as we live, we love. This is what it's all about. Doing what God desires of us. What's love got to do with it, though? Really, think about it. What does love have to do with all of this? Love is understood by action. By action. Quit running around telling people that you love them without showing them. Action always speaks louder than words. We can all agree with that. You can tell me 9 times in a day that you're going to do something and never do it, but that 10 times you tell me that you're going to do it and you do it, then I believe you. But those other 9 times, I don't believe you. So sometimes we just need to step back and we need to realize that we need to quit saying what we don't mean. If you love someone, show them. In John chapter 12, verse 43. John chapter 12, in the verses 43. In many cases, we don't show that we love one another. We don't show that we love God because we're trying to please men. We're trying to please men. Man doesn't care about you. Trust me. Man doesn't care about you. We tell our kids that from time to time. You know, you think that those people are your friends. They don't care anything about you. When you have nothing to offer them, then you see if they're really your friend or not. If you don't have anything and they're right there, trust me, they can be your friend. When you have something and they're there and they're not trying to get what you have, they're your friend. But when you don't have anything at all and they leave you, they are not your friends. But then when you get your income tax or you get paid on Friday or whenever you get paid and they're always right there, they're trying to use you. And the Bible gives us some good teaching on that as well. You know that they're using you. The Bible says you pray for them. You do good to them. You bless them. You pray for them. But don't give them all your money. They're not your friends. So we need to think about when we look at a passage like this, it's better to please God than to please men. In John chapter 12 and the verse is 43, the Bible says, "For they love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God." When people don't believe, you know, in God's word, when people don't want to, you know, be steadfast to what God wants them to do, they allow someone to lead them away from the truth. God loves us. God has shown his love to us. He doesn't have to prove anything to us. He has already shown us that he loves us by sending his son to die for the sins of the world. God has done that for us. Let's back up just a little bit here. Let's go to verse 39. "Therefore they could not believe, for again Isaiah says, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart in turn, I would heal them. Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory was spoken of him. Nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him, but for the fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it so that they would not be put out of the synagogue." Where was his allegiance? What was their allegiance? It was with the people. With the people instead of with God. See, we need to pledge today that we love God. And as we love him, we're going to demonstrate in our lives that we love him. We're going to show others that we love him. Jesus says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." As you do this, there are some men that are not going to be pleased, but there are others that are going to appreciate you for taking a stand for what you know to be true. Because, what does love have to do with it? The Bible tells us in John chapter 3, verse 16, it has a lot to do with it. It tells us what God did. God didn't have to do it, but he knew it would be best for us that he did do it. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He sent his son to die for the sins of the world. Why do we love him? Because he first loved us. Well, why does man not love him? Because they do not know him. It's very simple. Very simple. You say that you love him, do what you're supposed to do. Appreciate what he has done for us. Believe in his word. Believe that his son is truly his. Jesus is the son of the living God. You want someone to know that you love Christ. You want someone to know that you love God. You want someone to know his word. Demonstrate it in your actions. Demonstrate it in his actions. You know, again, I love him. Okay, you love him. I love her. Okay, you love her. I love God. Okay, you love God. I love Jesus. Okay, you love Jesus. What are you doing in order to show that you love him? Many people are not here this morning that need to be here. But then you say that you love God. You love his word. They ask that question. What does love have to do with it? God knows my heart. That's the problem right there. God knows your heart. He knows where your love or where your allegiance lies. He knows if you really love him or not by you doing what you're supposed to do or you're doing just the opposite. Love. It's hard sometimes to talk to someone about love and get them to really to understand what they need to do by not demonstrating in our own lives. It's hard. It's hard. Now, we can learn from anybody, But when someone see you in action, when they see what you're doing, when they see what you're dedicated to, and they see these things, they too may want to say, I want to be as you are, because I know that you're being as Christ is. See, we need to understand what true love is all about. When we come away from the world, in 1 John chapter 2, coming away from the world, see, we have people that love the world more than they love God. And you can't love both of them. Let me let you know that right now. You're gonna go out there and live like the world, or you're gonna come in and live a righteous life? It's a decision that we have to make. It's a choice that we have to make. It's laid out before you. God does not force us to love Him. I remember, you know, being in the military, and we'll sit there and we'll counsel someone and we'll put out these options for them. He said, now you choose, which one do you want to do? Now, I can give you the rules and regulations, but I'm going to just put them out before you. You choose which one you want to do. Because, you know, being a counselor sometimes, when you give someone, say, this is what you must do, and they go and they do those things, or they go and they try to do those things and they don't work out, they say, you're the one that told me to do this. So it's laid out before you. Which one do you want to do? And as they would tell us, it would behoove you, you know, they'll try to point to the one, or they'll stress importance on this one right here, because they know that's the best choice, but they want you to make up in your mind to do those things. Well, here's the choice right here in 1 John chapter 2, starting with verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. And I tell you, it's a choice, but actually it's a command. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life, it is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. So what do you want? You know, we talk about, you know, when we get together with our spouses, or before they become our spouses, we stand before that judge or that preacher, and they get ready to join us in marriage. They say, until death do us part. And then you repeat that, until death do us part. Some would be a little hesitant. I stay with her. I don't want to marry her, but I don't want to stay with her all my life. But look what it says about God's word. If you love Him, if you abide in Him, God abides with us forever. He's always with us if we would do what we're supposed to. But this world, those things that you have put your trust in, those things where you have channeled your love toward, those things are going to pass away. They're going to get old. And when they get old, we know that when something gets old, it is fading away. It is no longer good for anything. But we have to understand that true love never, ever gets old. But the love of this world, I like this today. Oh, I like that tomorrow. Oh, maybe next week. You know, I got my eyes on this thing, and I hope that I'm able to get it, you know, on down the road. And you're gonna strive to do everything you can in order to get that. Well, may I suggest this on this morning, that you strive to get yourself into heaven. Let that be your hope. Let that be your love. Let that be your desire. Because that will never pass away. Heaven is there. Sister Linda pointed out this morning from John chapter 14, verse 1, where Jesus tells his disciples, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. But I'm telling you that there is room for you. But where is your love? How are you going to be able to get there? It's only by doing what God wants us to do in order for us to get to heaven. So let's not love the world. We will come away from the world. Paul tells them in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting with verse 9, he tells them about all these different sins that they had once committed. They love the world. They love that homosexual lifestyle. They love being a drunkard. They love those type of ways. But I want us to know today that many of us have loved those type of ways. And then there are still some that have gone back out there into the world. We need to come away from those things. We need to ask God to forgive us. And we need to be steadfast in His word and do what we're supposed to. Those three ways in which sin enters our life. The pride of life, the Bible says. The lust of the flesh or the lust of the eyes. Right there. You can go all the way back to the garden and you can see it in Eve. As the old serpent beguiled her. Or, you know, we look at those things and we learn from those things. That just because it looks good doesn't mean that it's for us. Just because it feels good doesn't mean that it's for us. Just because it's going to make us look good doesn't mean that it's for us. See, we need to understand what God wants us to do. Do not love the world, neither the things in the world. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. See, we ended with verse 17. We come on down, verse 18. 1 John chapter 4. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. It casts it out, the Bible says. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. You have nothing to fear if you love God. You have nothing to fear if you're loving what is right. If you're doing what is right, you have nothing, the Bible says, to fear. But it says in verse 19, we love because he first loved us. Because he first loved us. Well, let's go all the way back again to the very beginning. We see love, God's love being demonstrated. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God could have killed them right there. Right there, but he did not, just like he did Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. Killed them right there on the spot. But he did not destroy them. He allowed them to live. And you move forward, you know, to right before he put them out of the garden to show his love for them. Knowing that they were naked, God made coats of skin for them. Why? Because he loved them. He didn't want them to run around, you know, trying to, you know, after that fig leaf got all rough. You know how leaf does when it's not on the tree anymore. It just crumbles up after a while. He didn't want them to go through that, so he made them coats of skin. Clothed them. Then he put them out of the garden. That's still love. As we do out with children sometimes before we kick them out of the house, you know, 18-30 plan. Before we kick them out, we make sure they got the provisions that they need in order for them to be able to move on. That's love. I don't care how you look at it. That is love. God loved his children. He even loved them when the wickedness of mankind came up before him in the days of Noah. He loved them. Noah, look, build an ark. This is how you build it. You and your family are going to be saved. He did not destroy all of mankind. He still loved man because man is his creation. That's love. And God still loves us today. Even when the children of Israel continued to be in sin, God saved a remnant because he loved his people. He sent his son to die for us. Why do you do what you do? Why do you do what you do? Answer that question and you'll understand how to love God. You do what you do because that's what you want to do. Why did God do those things? Because he did what he wanted to do. He loved us, therefore we love him. We love him. The Bible says, no greater love than this, than a man shall lay down his life. And that is our Savior, Jesus Christ. God sent him to die for the sins of the world, to be a propitiation for the sins of the world. He died in our stead. Isn't that great? Isn't that true love? What are you willing to do? Not to tell someone, because you can tell somebody anything. They are miles and miles and miles away, and you're talking to them over the telephone, and you're telling them how much you love them, but yet you don't have to do anything. They're not going to see you, so you don't have to show them that you love them. And then when they're in your presence, and they say, you told me that you love me. And what are you going to do? What are you going to do? See, God is not miles and miles and miles away. Jesus says in the book of John, chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, you'll tell everybody that you love me. Is that what he says? If you love me, you'll tell me that you love me. Is that what he says? No, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep, you will keep my commandments. That's what Jesus says. You know, we get that from time to time. You know, let's get those red letters. Well, here's the red letters right here. The words from our Lord and our Savior. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So you say that you love him. Let's see it. Let's see it in action. Let's see if you truly love him. You're a child of God. Let's be where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there. Let's do what you're supposed to do when you have the opportunity to do it. You say you love him. Paul, as he writes to the church of Galatia, chapter 6, in the verses 10. Therefore, as you have opportunity, you do good unto all men, especially those in the household of faith. You do good unto them as you have opportunity. That's love. You're demonstrating it. You're not just going around telling them. You're demonstrating it. You know, you give a man what he asked for, and sometimes you give him a little bit more because you what? You love him. We tell people that, you know, on the radio program, you know, we love you. We care about you. We are interested in where you're going to spend your eternity because we love you. Why do we love them? Because God first loved us. He has cared for us. He has shown us. So therefore, we need to love others. And we need to do exactly what we're supposed to do. Let's not sell them short. Let's show them, you know, wholeheartedly that we love. That's what we're supposed to do with one another. You know, it's easy sometimes to tell a person, I love you, when they love you back. But what about that man that doesn't love you back? How do you treat him? Again, going back to the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, when they curse you, when they use you, when they do all manner of evil against you, when they persecute you, he says for us to do what again? He tells for us to bless them. To bless them. You know, do good unto them. To pray for them. That's true love. What did Jesus do when he was up on the cruel cross of Calvary? You're the Son of God. Save yourself. Jesus stayed right there. Why? Because he loved the Father enough to do what the Father wanted him to do, and that was to give his life. He said, instead, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. That's true love. That is true love. For someone to go to die in your stead. How many of us are willing to do that today? We hear about that in some gangs, you know. Someone go to jail for their older brother, you know, knowing that if he go back to jail, he'll never get out again. I'm going to take the blame for that. How many of us are willing to do that? I'm not. I'm not going to jail for none of you all. I'm going to let you know that right now. Not one of you. I'm not going to jail for you. If you come to my house to get ate in the bed, Brother Mark, what am I going to do? I'm going to tell where you are. You know, I got some people right now that when they get out, wherever they are, and I tell them, when you get yourself in trouble, give me a call. And I know that you have gotten yourself into trouble where the law need to be involved. I already told them. I said, I'm calling the cops. So therefore, they don't call me. But it's true. Why? Because I love God more than I love them. I love God more. Why? Because he loves me more. He has demonstrated that to us. And we need to demonstrate that to others. Let's do what we're supposed to do. Let's make sure that we live our lives the way we're supposed to. Let's love the way we're supposed to. If you're here this morning, you're not a child of God. I hope I've said something. Love is understood by action. And you have thought in your mind, you know, I love Jesus. I love God. I love his word. I would love to be a member of the Lord's church. Well, you don't just have to say it. Show it. Come forth this morning. Make the confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Have your sins washed away in the watery grave of baptism, coming in contact with the blood. And then demonstrate your love every day. Demonstrate your love by doing what God wants you to do. And you can be an example to someone else. You can show them by your actions. And hopefully somebody somewhere will see this and that they too may ask that question as others have asked in the past. What must I do in order to be saved? Sirs, what must I do? Lord, what do you want me to do? And it is told to you what to do. Do it. If you're here and you are a child of God and you're strayed away from the fold, we're asking you to come back this morning. We're asking you not to stay out there in the world any longer. Deny what is there. The desires that are there, they mean you no good. Come back to the fold. Be reunited with the body of Christ on this morning. If you're here and you're subject to an invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.